Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Catherine Irving. On this week's recap, the Kodiak Island Borough School District announced a string of new appointments on March 5th and 6th. Damon Hargraves, the principal of Peterson Elementary, has been appointed as the next assistant superintendent.
In this position, that just means I'm going to be able to help and assist and remove roadblocks and help find connections for that many more people.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at kodiakhealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
The first third of the Iditarod Trail sled dog race has seen a bit of everything from severe wind chill to watery overflow and even some wildlife. Front of the pack teams zipped through the interior hub of McGrath Tuesday night, March 10th, and early Wednesday, but several others stayed at the checkpoint for their mandatory 24-hour breaks. Alaska Public Media's Ava White has more from McGrath, more than 300 miles into the 1,000-mile race.
Defending champion Jesse Holmes was first to McGrath late Tuesday, but he only stopped for a few minutes to grab supplies from his drop bags, including frozen fish to feed his team.
I'm getting these dogs well taken care of, getting ready for the next stages of the race. I expect it to continue to be tough, so I need to get well rested there and get the dogs and myself refueled for the journey.
Front-running mushers like Holmes and frequent top 10 finisher Paige Drobny, both from the Denali Highway area, opted to blow through McGrath, headed for the village of Takotna, where they bedded down their dogs to take their 24s. Others, like up-and-comer Riley Dyke and Matt Hall, the runner-up the last 2 years, passed those staying in Takotna and headed for the ghost town checkpoint of Ophir for their 24-hour rest. It's been cold all along the trail so far. Teams experienced wind chill down to 45 below near McGrath and even colder in lower-lying areas. Sophomore Iditarod musher Keaton Lobrick says his boots were frozen when he pulled into McGrath this morning.
It always feels colder on, I don't know if that's the river or whatever that was. But my feet, I mean, these are frozen solid.
Josie Shelley is another veteran musher from Fairbanks in the 2024 Iditarod Rookie of the Year. She won the first Yukon Quest Alaska 750 in mid-February and laughs when asked about the cold weather.
I did the Yukon Quest. It was like 68 below. So this, I mean, I don't like the 40 below, but I'm also not. It's fine.
Shelley spent 6 hours in the McGrath checkpoint and squeezed in a two-hour nap, her longest since the race started, before heading farther down the trail. But not everyone continued down the trail. A handful of mushers declared their 24-hour rests in McGrath, including Jeff Dieter, another Fairbanks musher. Dieter is competing in his 9th Iditarod and says his 16-dog team is doing great and eating like wolves. He says that's a good sign.
I was trying not to go into my 24 with any sort of depletion of the team. Like, I wanted to catch them while they're still sound and hungry and feeling their best so that we can build on that and actually leave here really ready for the final two-thirds of this race.
Coming into the checkpoint, Dieter says he ran into overflow that left the entire team soaking wet with an ambient temperature of 25 below. Mushers also spoke of running into bison earlier in the race, heading through the Farewell Burn after the treacherous Dalzell Gorge. Willow musher Gabe Dunham is terrified of them and says they were standing right at the edge of the trail.
And then they kind of moved off a little bit and we snuck by them really quick, but Jason Mackey was right behind me. And he was like, they were so close.
There was no bison on the menu for Dunham and McGrath, where she was taking her 24-hour layover and had Southwestern chicken and rice for breakfast Wednesday. Stopping here, she says, is part of a challenging but strategic plan.
I chose to come here because it sets me up to where now I'll go to Ophir and I'll stay there for a break after this. And then that sets my team up for hopefully 3 runs into Ruby.
The first musher to Ruby, where teams reach the Yukon River, wins a gourmet meal cooked by Flonin chefs that is sometimes eaten, like Dunham's chicken and rice, for breakfast, just depending on when they arrive. In McGrath, I'm Ava White.
Next up, a high-profile budget bill that would unlock hundreds of millions in government construction projects across Alaska took a substantial step forward in the state legislature on Wednesday. The Alaska Senate unanimously passed what's known as the supplemental budget Wednesday afternoon, setting up an up or down final vote in the House in the coming days. Alaska Public Media reports. The budget bill faced a brief delay in the Senate as Republican lawmakers objected to the initial $500 million proposal passed by the House and expanded by a Senate committee. The budget bill taps a savings account, so it needed a supermajority, and that gave the Republican minority leverage to negotiate. And on Wednesday, minority Republicans ultimately agreed to a roughly 30% reduction. All 20 members of the Senate voted to advance a newly trimmed back $370 million spending package. Bethel Democratic Senator Lehman Hoffman says a spike in oil prices erased some of the deficit lawmakers had planned to fill.
As a result of that, we are able to accomplish what I feel needs to be addressed for the state of Alaska and also the concerns of many of the members of the minority.
The deal removes from the budget bill tens of millions of dollars to make up for unexpected spending by some departments this past year, most prominently the Department of Corrections. Tok Republican Senator Mike Kronk, the minority leader, says it's important for lawmakers to dig a little deeper into why agencies spent more than planned.
By reducing this, is, you know, one step closer to not withdrawing as much as what was initially looked at.
Other Republicans thanked the majority for paring the budget back to only what they saw as the most urgent items. Senators are also hoping the deal will placate House Republicans who initially withheld their votes to draw from savings. Minority caucus members said they wanted more time to examine why spending had grown. Next up, Alaska students could have a new graduation requirement in the not-too-distant future. The Alaska Senate unanimously passed a bill on Monday, March 9th, that would mandate a new civics course or exam for high schoolers starting in 2027. It's a longtime priority for Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican. Here he is describing it to the Senate Finance Committee earlier this month.
What it really is all about is creating citizens. It goes back to George Washington when he left as president. He said, our job is to make sure that our young people become citizens, they become voters.
The retired professor has made civics education a priority for much of his quarter-century career in the legislature. In 2016, Stevens led the legislature to pass a resolution aiming to assess and improve the state's civic education in public schools. The bill directs the State Board of Education to come up with a curriculum covering various aspects of government and politics. The bill initially aimed to prepare students to pass the test the U.S. gives to naturalized citizens. To reduce costs, the version that passed the Senate instead directs the State School Board to come up with a curriculum and a civics test based on freely available materials. Students would be able to retake the test if they did not pass, and districts would also be free to assign a project rather than a test. The State Education Department estimates it would cost roughly $840,000 in its first year as the department develops the program. The bill faced no significant opposition from lawmakers or the public and included Democrats and Republicans as co-sponsors. Here's Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican.
I think it's pretty hard to sit here and not support George Washington, so I support the Senate President's bill.
Senators have passed similar bills twice over the past 5 years, but they've died in the House without a vote. Stevens says he's optimistic the House will pass the bill in his final year in office. And if not, he says he'll find someone to carry the bill again next year. Next up, contract details have been finalized between the incoming superintendent and the Kodiak Island Borough School District. According to the recently signed employment agreement, Daniel Brigman will receive an annual salary of $175,000 over a 3-year term. In January, he was selected by the district school board as the top candidate out of 4 finalists after Brigman and one other finalist visited Kodiak for a tour of KIBSD schools and a public forum. Brigman, who lives in North Carolina, will also be reimbursed for up to $10,000 in moving expenses. The employment agreement, which was signed and approved by both Brigman and the school board president, Carrie Irons, last month, includes health insurance, 30 days of annual leave, as well as a vehicle allowance for when Brigman drives his car for professional use. The incoming superintendent said in a press release in January that he looks forward to visiting schools, meeting with staff, and listening to school district families in the coming months. Cindy Micah, the current and outgoing superintendent, is finishing out her last school year in Kodiak. Her last day with the district is June 30th, and she will be returning to Texas for personal reasons after that. Brigman is scheduled to begin his contract on July 1st. However, he's expected to arrive in Kodiak prior to then. And our final story for this week, the Kodiak Island Borough School District announced a string of new appointments last week on March 5th and 6th. Damon Hargraves, the principal of Peterson Elementary School, has been appointed as the next assistant superintendent. He will take over for Kim Saunders by the end of the school year. Hargraves is the longest-running school administrator currently in Kodiak with over 14 years of experience in the district. He got his start teaching in Unalakleet and says he realized pretty quickly that education was his calling.
We get to have this incredible impact on whole lives that then come back and continue to grow our community and our state and our country. In this position, that just means I'm going to be able to help and assist and remove roadblocks and help find connections for that many more people.
Hargraves has been principal of Peterson Elementary for 4 years. Rena Rankin, who is currently serving as the principal of Kodiak Middle School, will take Hargraves' place at Peterson. Rankin's husband previously served in the Coast Guard, and Rankin says she is looking forward to working with kids who came to Kodiak as part of military families like hers. Peterson Elementary primarily serves students whose parents work in the U.S. Coast Guard.
I'm excited to just learn something new and just being able to work with those families, knowing we did come here as a military family and have experience moving, and to just be able to work with families and students through that and support them however I can.
Although Rankin is sad to be leaving her role at the middle school, she says she welcomes the opportunity for something new.
My heart's with middle school, and I love, you know, the students and the staff here. That part is hard to say, you know, I'm going to walk away from that, but I'm excited to just learn new kids, new faces, new families, new teachers, and have a new adventure, I guess.
Judith Bruns, the current assistant principal at Kodiak Middle School, will be taking Rankin's position as the middle school's principal. The district has published a job posting for Bruns' old position on their website. Hargraves, Rankin, and Bruns will all be moving to their new positions before the end of the school year. Likewise, the school district's new superintendent, Daniel Brigman, will start his 3-year position on July 1st.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to follow us on the KMXT app. It's free to download and features all of our local news and programming, including every episode of the Weekly Wrap. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Catherine Irving. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.